Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 177. My name is John. Got out of town on a boat, going to Southern Islands. Gina and I just celebrated our 25th anniversary. Milestone. Silver. Quarter century. If you listen to some of my podcasts about our travels, you may know we give this time special treatment. Of course, we went on our honeymoon in 1999. More details on that shortly. For our first anniversary in 2000, we were still working to get out of debt. So I used my connections to get us a cheap room in Austin for an extended weekend so we could visit some friends. The next year, in 2001, we again took a long weekend to go up to a bed and breakfast up in the hill country near Fredericksburg, Texas. On the day of our anniversary, we were at the communal breakfast table with the other couples chatting about vacations. I forget a lot of the details, but someone mentioned the idea that everyone in the room should take time off from work each year and come back to the B&B. Well, that planted a seed in my brain, and I talked to Gina about taking the week of our anniversary off each year, not to return to the B&B, but to go on vacation to celebrate. Well, she loved the idea, and since I was working for a travel agency back then, I could get some great deals. So beginning in 2002, with our third anniversary, we began our tradition. Every year, we take the week of our anniversary off, and we go somewhere to celebrate. Some of the best times of our lives have been on these trips. I saw the Green Flash in the Dominican Republic, been to the top of Pikes Peak, visited the Hemingway House and ate key lime pie in Key West, Florida, listened to the song Montego Bay in Montego Bay, and all with this wonderful woman by my side. There have been a lot of great trips. Some, not so much. But the good certainly outweighs the bad. There are two trips that I want to highlight because they're very important to this year's trip. First, our honeymoon. This was a cruise on a relatively small boat with Commodore. If you aren't familiar with Commodore cruise lines, that's okay, because they went out of business just a few months after we went on our honeymoon. The trip itself was quite nice. We went to Cozumel, Mexico, and while we were there, took a taxi to Chonkanob Park. The park was small at that time, and we rented some snorkeling gear, which I quickly learned doesn't work well if you have facial hair. We ran across the first of many, many stray cats that we would find on our travels. The second stop was at Progreso. This was a little fishing town that was building up its pier for cruise ships. Our ship was one of the few small enough to dock at the pier at that time, so we were one of the first to go to this port. There was a little mercado with locals selling their wares. The town was not developed at all for tourists. If you've ever seen the contrast between the twin towns of Zihuatanejo and Ixtapa, you know what I mean. This town was definitely more Zihuatanejo. There was a dive bar near the pier that we stopped at before going back onto the ship. But just outside was one of the coolest things I had ever seen. The beach was unspoiled by tourists. I mean, sure, locals had abandoned a couple of little boats that were falling apart. But all along the length of the beach, about a yard wide, was a line of thousands and thousands of seashells. There were so many rolling around in the surf that when the waves came in, the shells would tap against each other, and it sounded like wind chimes. That was the first trip that had bearing on this year's vacation. The second was our 10th anniversary. I don't know if any of you remember, but in 2009, things weren't all that great for the United States economy. I won't go into great detail, but I lost my job just after getting a promotion that I had been working on for several years, and I was on my way to a huge ideological change that would lead me to creating this podcast. Our plans for a big trip to Hawaii got put on hold, but we still wanted to do something. A few weeks before our anniversary, we did some searching for cruises and found a Carnival ship leaving out of Galveston for a price that was less than half of what we had budgeted for Hawaii. That ship was sailing to Jamaica, Grand Cayman, and Cozumel, so we booked it. Now, Jamaica is beautiful, and I don't want to sound like I'm ignoring it, but that part of the cruise is not important to this episode, to this trip. The second stop, Grand Cayman, was one of the most beautiful beaches we had ever seen in our lives. You walk out into the water, go out to your shoulders, you look down, and you can still see your feet clearly. We only got to spend a few hours there, but it is the place that we've most wanted to revisit in all of our travels. On the actual date of our anniversary, we went to Cozumel again. But this time, we took an excursion to the Mayan ruins at Tulum. And this was one of the single best days of my entire life. All of the worries and concerns back home were far away, and there was only us. Gina and I took the tour, and after it was over, we had a couple of hours to explore on our own. It was our anniversary, so while most people headed off to the beach or lingered around the ruins, we walked off to one side where we found a quiet area at the top of an 80-foot cliff where we could look out over the ocean or look back over to see the ruins and the beautiful beach below. We had talked about maybe renewing our vows, but we're not much for ceremony. So we each took out some words we wrote down and privately read them to each other. We listened to some songs from our wedding day, strolled the grounds, taking in the beauty of the area, and got back on the bus a little wet as the storm was just starting to come through. The AC was on in the bus, so we huddled close together, keeping warm, watching the rain as we rode back to the ship. It was a perfect day. Now, since this year is our 25th anniversary, we wanted to do something big. We did Hawaii, finally, for our 20th, and I wanted to go bigger. I've never been outside of North America. I wanted to go to another continent. But Gina wanted to go someplace tropical since we haven't been out of the USA since COVID. I've been doing some research and I found where I wanted to go that's tropical and part of the South American continent. Aruba. We are going to go all out. First class airfare, all-inclusive resort, private transportation. My goal was to make things as carefree as possible. Not doing all-inclusive means you got to make decisions on where to go for meals and either renting a car, taking taxis. Didn't want to do any of that. Just put me in a place, give me a beach, and let me relax. Costco was showing some great deals when I was playing around with ideas last year before our 24th anniversary, so I hope we may get something around that same price range. Then came time to start getting things confirmed, and we looked into the all-inclusive options. Gina was sold on my perfect vacation idea, and that's where things began to fall apart. Looking at the reviews of the Costco all-inclusive options showed us a lot of people who had stayed in those places recently had a lot of negative things to say. A resort may have an overall favorable rating, but recent reviews skewed downward. You don't want to spend the kind of money we're planning on spending for rude resort staff or lousy food. We tried other travel site resort options and found the same thing. Then we started looking around for other destinations, even if it meant staying in North America. But the prices were considerably higher for places we had not been to before. Then the flights we wanted were selling out, and travel websites had the gall to offer international connection flights with a 45-minute layover. That's just not feasible, and no responsible travel agent would recommend that. Then we decided to just go back and try one of the all-inclusive options in Aruba that had the best rating. But they were now sold out. And even the worst rated one was now $2,000 more expensive. Out of frustration, Gina found and booked a cruise instead. The cruise was out of New Orleans and went to Cozumel, Grand Cayman, and Progreso. Staying in North America and not visiting anywhere new on our silver anniversary, Gina felt like it was a failure after our grandiose plans. But I'd looked at it this way. New Orleans was the departure city for our honeymoon trip, the first place I ever visited outside of Texas. And we spent a day in the city after we had gotten back from that first voyage, so I had fond memories. Cozumel, or at least Tulum, was the site of one of the best days of my life. Grand Cayman was one of the most beautiful places we had ever seen, and we wanted to go back to it. And a return to Progreso after a quarter century to see how things had changed, that really interested me. I told Gina, yeah, it's disappointing that we aren't doing what we planned, but I look at this trip as our greatest hits. Okay, so we're not doing what we originally planned, but we're still going to splurge a little, and we're going to get first-class tickets, even though it's only to New Orleans. I won't say the name of the cruise line, but it rhymes with Royal Caribbean. We each get the cruise line's key service, which, according to the website, the key service allows you to receive internet service on one device. That's good to know. Get priority seating for various events on the ship. Whatever. Check your bags at the terminal so you don't have to lug them all over the place when you're bored. However, according to the website, you have to check your bags no later than 1:30 p.m. So we booked the only flight that will get us there in time. It leaves our town at 5:15 a.m. Hooray. Also with the key service, you get to go to an exclusive welcome reception when you board the ship. Let me repeat that. You get to go to an exclusive welcome reception when you board the ship. And lastly, if you are not going on an excursion at one of the ports, you get priority disembarkation. Let me repeat that. You get priority disembarkation at the ports of call. For ground transportation in New Orleans, we get transfers to and from the port through the cruise line. They don't offer private transport like I wanted, and I check Uber prices, which are twice as much one way as they are offering round trip. After Gina and I discuss it, we decide we've splurged enough, so we're stuck on a bus with dozens of others, but that's okay. Now, this comes into play later. They tell us that we should not book a return flight home until after 1 p.m. because they can't guarantee when we will leave the ship after returning. No worries. We book the first flight back home after 1 p.m., which is 3:30. Too bad we couldn't make that 2:15 p.m. flight, but it's too early according to what they've told us. For ground transportation to and from our home, Gina's friend volunteered to pick us up when we get home, but we're not going to ask anybody to take us in the middle of the night to the airport. So I booked an Uber to pick us up at 3:30 a.m. to take us to the airport to start our vacation. Finally, it's all squared away. We have house sitters coming over while we're gone to keep an eye on things and feed Max. Flights are booked. Transportation between home and the airport is set. Transportation between Louis Armstrong Airport and the cruise terminal is booked. The cruise is booked. We do not get the alcohol package because it is way too expensive. Even if only one of us got the package, bought the cheapest drinks available, and snuck drinks to the other, we would still have paid more than twice the amount compared to what we actually drank on the ship. And just days after we finally get the travel set, I lose my job. Not going to get into it right now. Just know that it's my fault for being stupid and impetuous. Gina is very stressed out. But this is still our vacation. So we're going to try to forget the troubles and enjoy ourselves. Usually, we have to do our 40-hour work week while we're trying to get things together and pack in the days leading up to vacation. Then we got to try to get to bed early enough on a Friday with all the stress of preparation and the excitement of vacation hitting you. It makes it tough to get a good night's sleep under those conditions. On top of that, in order to make a 5:15 a.m. flight, we have to leave the house by 3:30 a.m., which means we have to be awake by 2:30 a.m. just to have time to freshen up, gather the luggage, kiss the cat goodbye, and head out. It's stressful, and it usually causes us to be snippy with each other when we're heading out. But since I have the time, I try to do everything possible to make sure we're all set to go in the week leading up to vacation. I got Gina to gather up everything she wanted to take, got all my stuff, we threw in some extra clothes just in case something unexpected popped up, and I had everything packed and ready to go on Thursday night. So Friday, we just added anything else we wanted to lug with us, and by the wee hours of Saturday morning, we just needed to throw in our toothbrushes and we were ready to go. I did online check-in for all the reservations, tracked everything, solved any problems that came up, and I also cleaned the house in the days leading up to vacation. As there's nothing better than coming home to a clean house, especially when you know that you're going to have to put your vacation clothes in the laundry. At least all the other chores are already done. On the plus side, all this activity has made us tired, and even though we are excited to be on vacation, it doesn't keep us awake. Gina doesn't want to wake up until 2:30 on Saturday morning. I sleep in the back bedroom and set my alarm for 2 a.m. I'm in bed by 9 p.m. and I am out immediately. I wake up 15 minutes before my alarm and decide to get up and get things started. I do my normal morning of vacation routine. Even though I shower the night before, I do a quick rinse off to refresh myself. After the toiletries are packed, I bring the luggage downstairs, turn off the ice maker in the fridge, put the water heater and thermostat on vacation mode, hydrate, eat a banana, because it's the only thing I can keep down when I first wake up in the morning. I have to be up at least 2 hours before I can actually eat something substantive. I help Gina with anything she needs. I say goodbye to our cat, Max. This will be his first time alone in the house for an extended period since Oliver passed away in August, and I'm worried about him. Our driver arrives, and half an hour later, we arrive at the airport. Being so early, it's a breeze to get through security, and we probably could have had another 15 minutes at home. Long layover in Houston gives us time for brekkie. Then we fly off to New Orleans and find the cruise rep to take us to our transport. We get to the cruise terminal, and it is as chaotic as I remember. There have been times we've had to wait a couple of hours to get on board. Standing in line until your back aches, lugging suitcases all over the frickin' place. But we were told with our key pass, We could drop our bags with a porter, and that's exactly what we do. Everything is tagged with our names and room info, and we head into the check-in area. And there's the fucking line, twisting and turning around, at least 100 people long. But I look to the side, and there I see a blue sign that says key. So I ask the rep if we can go, since we have the key pass. She says absolutely we can, and walks us up to the check-in, where there is one family in front of us, and they get finished just as we step up. The cruise people took about 20 seconds to scan our documents, confirm our online check-in was completed, and sent us on our way to the ship. From the moment we stepped off the bus to the time we set foot on the ship was about 15 minutes. And most of that was filling out the tags for our luggage, going to the restroom, and walking up to the boat. You used to have to go through a safety drill once everyone was on the ship. Not anymore. You just watch the safety video on your app. And once you're on the ship, you report to the muster station so you know where your lifeboat is. Now, throughout this whole process, every cruise worker has their tablet with them to scan our credentials and know immediately who we are, what we look like, where our rooms are, etc. When we check in at the muster station, they tell us there's a reception on deck 11 in the Windjammer, which is the buffet restaurant. Ah, this must be that private reception I mentioned earlier for the key members. At this point, I'm not even thinking. I have been up for 10 hours, and it's not even noon. I'm hungry, and I want to grab some food and drink and decompress. We will find out later that this was not the private reception we were supposed to go to. Why their little tablets couldn't have told the workers where to send us is something that I mentioned in the survey. Good news is, though, they actually caught it before we even knew what had happened, and they correct it by giving us a free lunch at one of their pay extra restaurants. The other issue we had on our trip with the key pass that we paid for was the day we went to Grand Cayman. We did not book an excursion because the Caymans are generally safe for tourists to go off on their own. We just wanted to grab a cab to the beach and soak up some sun, just like we did last time. I asked guest services where to go to get the early disembarkation. They tell me that we'll get a pass card delivered to our room and to go to the theater on deck 5. The theater has entrances on decks 5 and 6. So on the day of, when we get to the deck 5 entrance and tell them we have the key pass, they tell us to go inside, take the stairs up to deck 6, and have a seat. We get up there, and it's all a bunch of excursion people. But we sit down for a few minutes, and they announce that the key pass people will be leaving shortly. After waiting a few more minutes without any further information, Gina decides to get up to ask a crew member and finds out that we had to meet them outside the theater to leave early, and all the other key pass people have already gone. Fortunately, an officer runs over and takes us down, and we exit the ship immediately, but we did lose a little time. More on the Caymans in a bit. Since I'd like to get the negative out of the way, let me explain one last issue that I had. They definitely need to get everyone on the same page. 2 days before the return to New Orleans, Gina gets a notification that our transport back to the airport is at 8:30 a.m. That's 7 hours before our flight that we booked on advice from their reps. We again talked to guest services, asking if we can leave later, but we were advised by the rather surly supervisor, and you know Gina put that in the survey, that all the transports to the airport are scheduled at 8:30 a.m. There is no later option for us. If we had known that, We could have easily made the earlier 12:15 p.m. flight and been home hours earlier. You know I included that in the survey. Okay, fine. So we decided to go to the airport, check our bags, and then Uber back to Jackson Square for beignets and shopping for a couple of hours. We get to the airport, and United won't allow us to check bags until 11:30. So now we have to wait almost 2 hours just to check our bags. We scrap the plan to go back to the French Quarter, and instead of hot chocolate and beignets at Café du Monde, it's airport chai latte and a bag of combos sitting next to a guy that looks just like Wilford Brimley. Okay, let me talk about the ports of call. Cozumel. I was really hoping Gina would want to revisit Tulum, but she didn't. Instead, we went back to Chonkanab, but this time as part of an excursion, listed on the website as 5.5 hours that included a cooking class. We gathered in the theater, on the ship, at 8:30 a.m., as they told us. Got the rundown of what to expect. Our group went out to the pier. We had to sign a consent form for the cooking class. The tour guide got us all on the bus, and by now it was 9:30 a.m. The guide then advised us that the bus returning to the boat leaves at 1:30 p.m. sharp. We should be ready to board by 1:20 p.m., and if we're not on the bus in time, we have to find our own way back. Hopefully you're doing the math, and you realize that that is just under 4 hours. Because they count the excursion time from when you meet in the theater to the time they drop you back at the pier. Lame. It's not 5.5 hours. Don't bill it as that. But the cooking class is good. Creamy shrimp appetizer, pan-seared tilapia with diced veggies and a tamarind sauce, pan-fried plantains in a chocolate rum sauce. It was a lot of fun, and we were under this giant tent about 100 feet from the beach. Unfortunately, it started to rain while we were cooking. But it stopped while we were eating our meal. We ended up with about 90 minutes of beach time. So we changed to our swimsuits, got out to the beach, and it just started pouring rain. By the time it subsided, it was time to leave. Back at the pier, once the bus returned, we wandered around for a bit, and I found a can of Jack Daniels and Coke at the market. Nice. Gina found the best banana bread we've had since Hawaii, maybe even better. All in all, it was an okay day, but the weather and lack of beach time had us, and especially Gina, a little down. But that's okay, because the next day was going to make up for it. Grand Cayman. I already mentioned the day got off a little late, but once we got to the port, we were in good spirits. As you can expect with any port, there's a little shopping area right in front of it, and Gina finds a local artist that does seascapes and turtles. She doesn't want to carry anything around all day, but the artist promises he will stay until the last boat leaves. Now, the last time we were in Grand Cayman, we just walked out of the port, grabbed a cabbie who, within 20 minutes, had us sitting on a nice quiet beach. This time, 15 years later, things were built up quite a bit, and now two people couldn't just get a cab. The drivers all have passenger vans that seat at least 6 people. Some have small buses that seat 15 to 20 people. Our driver won't take us until she gets other fares. And, for some reason, she shows us fares to 4 beach areas, but will only take us to the free public one. She finds a family going in the same direction as us, but they have to stop at an ATM. So now we've all got to walk to her van. We go through a couple of parking lots, behind a dumpster, and Just as I'm starting to think we're going to get mugged, we arrive at her vehicle. After the other family's ATM stop, and almost an hour after we first found the driver, we finally arrive at the public beach. I don't remember what we paid last time. For that matter, I don't even remember anyone working there. But we shelled out $25 for chairs and an umbrella, and we got to the beach. A week or so prior, Hurricane Milton came through and churned up the seafloor. You could still see your feet walking out of the water, but it wasn't quite as clear. And there was a lot of seaweed. Still, the water was a beautiful turquoise blue, and the sand was soft. I tried to get my kite to fly, but there just wasn't enough wind. Gina got drinks from one of the people working on the beach without asking for the price, and we ended up paying $30 for a couple of weak piña coladas. We also needed a lot more cash than we expected, so we skipped the $20 per plate meals that they offered for some $5 snacks, which was really just fine because I wasn't all that hungry anyway. We had to be back at the port no later than 6 p.m. So, a little after 4, we started getting cleaned up and changing into dry clothes. The driver had one of those small buses that I mentioned earlier to take people back, so once again, we had to wait for him to fill the vehicle. Then, we experienced something we didn't encounter last time, or even expect to happen. Rush hour traffic. We got back a lot later than expected, but still enough time for Gina to go to that artist to buy a couple of prints to hang in the house. Well, I did something that I had been waiting 15 years to do. The last time we were there, I found a distillery that sold a dark rum named after a man who people believe was a kidnapped African prince taken into slavery by some Frenchmen who named him Richard Lenoir, literally translated Richard the Black. And then they abandoned him at the island for being unruly. Unfortunately, the day I was there back in 2009, they were closed, so I didn't get to sample or buy any of their rum. This time, I went to the liquor store to see if they carried it. Sure enough, I grabbed a bottle to take home. The name of the rum is taken from his nickname, and once you hear it, you will understand why I had to buy it. Richard the Black. The name of the rum? Big Black Dick. According to legend, not only was that his nickname, it was an ample description. I'm even drinking some right now. As we left the island, storms rolled in, but we got a beautiful day of sunshine and a beach that may not have been as memorable as our last visit, but it was still the highlight of the trip. The next day was our anniversary. No ports to stop at, just us spending what turned out to be a rainy day on the ship together before the last port. Progreso, the last stop before heading home. But the rains did not let up. In fact, they got worse. The morning of our stop, the winds had picked up, and the captain advised that there were 4-meter swells, roughly 13 feet. Because ships have to go up a channel to get to Progreso, the rough sea would not allow us to get to the port safely. We would not get to see Progreso 25 years later as I had hoped. Gina didn't care, but I'm still a little bummed about it. On the ship itself, like pretty much every other cruise we've ever been on, the center of the ship, with the open area, the shops, the music, and so forth, it's excruciatingly loud at night. People are crammed in. I probably would have enjoyed it in my 20s or even my early 30s, but now it's something I avoid. We ate dinner a couple of nights in the main dining room, and some of the food was really good, and some of it was on par with a cheap microwave frozen meal. The buffet restaurant was surprisingly good. Not everything was a hit, but it had a great variety for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. And I tried my best to eat my weight in pineapple, but I fell short. And there was also a casino. Between the two of us, Gina and I lost about $53. But I did well in the music trivia contests. The cruise director on the ship is a man named John Grantham. He is a former Hollywood stuntman and an actor. He had some minor roles in things like Will and Grace. And he is one of the most fun guys I've ever had the chance to meet. He's also a music aficionado, and he wrote a book called The World's Hardest Music Trivia, Rock and Roll History, Fun Facts, and Behind-the-Scenes Stories About Groups and Songs You Thought You Knew. So on the ship, he hosted the World's Hardest 60s and the World's Hardest 70s music trivia quizzes. Let me give you an example. He plays a Beatles song, but the question is not, what's the name of the song in the group? No. The questions are, what is the name of the group's first manager? What is the name of the first club where the group got paid money to perform? What is the name of their first number one song not written by a member of the group? And what was their last number one song? That's the kind of quiz we're talking about. One for the 60s and one for the 70s. I won the 60s quiz, and I tied for second on the 70s. Not bad for somebody born in 1972. But I must say, you were allowed to take the quiz as a group. There were tables of 6 to 8 people answering together. I only had Gina, who doesn't know the difference between Led Zeppelin and Rush. That being said, she did help with a couple of the 70s songs. Gina is also buying his book for me. I can't wait to read it. One of the cruise director's main assistants, underlings, whatever you want to call them, was a lovely young Brit named Alice. She also hosted a 50s music trivia that was so easy everyone got all the answers correct. But she was sweet and charming, and I admit I was a little smitten with her. Hell, I could have just spent the whole day listening to her talk. We had our anniversary dinner and that makeup lunch that I mentioned earlier at their steakhouse restaurant. The dinner was one of the best steaks I've ever had. The lunch was just as impressive. Gina, for lunch, ordered a salad with some cuts of steak in it. Now, you order something like this at any regular restaurant, and there's a nice salad with maybe 5 or 6 slices of steak cut on the bias. Not here. She got her salad with an entire 12-ounce New York strip sliced on top of it. Their shrimp cocktail was the epitome of what one should be. For dessert, I had the key lime meringue pie, which was phenomenal. We also ate at their sushi restaurant another night, and that was excellent. I had a couple of rolls, one with tuna and one with lobster with a champagne sauce drizzled over it. While I'm not a fan of these upgrades that cruise lines like to throw at us these days, I'm glad we decided to splurge. The waitstaffs at both of these restaurants, and really throughout the ship, with that one exception that I mentioned earlier, were all professional, attentive, and whenever we mentioned our anniversary, they just seemed to kick things into another gear and made us feel special. Even the lady cleaning tables next to me in the common area, who just wanted to know how my day was. This was actually the second time on this cruise line. The last time, the crew were mostly unhelpful and inattentive. So at least this was a vast improvement and a positive for our trip. Can't say enough about how sweet the staff was. So if you're going on a cruise, pay the extra money for the luggage drop-off, expedited boarding, and any other perks that it includes. If you can budget for it, get first-class seats on the airline. That's the first time I haven't felt like a sardine on a plane. Pick up a bottle of Big Black Dick in the Cayman Islands, because it actually is a pretty good dark rum. Don't bother with soda or alcohol packages. I mean, there are juice and tea options for soft drinks. And unless you plan on going through 8 drinks a day, every day of the cruise, drink packages just aren't cost effective. Oh, and no matter what ship you go on, expect the shower to be way too small. That's just the way it is. Oh, and I mentioned earlier, I was worried about our aloof and agoraphobic cat, Max, who was alone in the house all week, except for a couple of daily visits from the sitters. Because he's afraid of strangers, he hid under the bed and hissed at them when they looked for him. But he came out after they were gone to eat the food that they left. When we got back, he still cowered and hissed under the bed at us. But once he realized it was us, he was fine. In fact, he has been more vocal and affectionate since we returned. I think I heard him talk more times in the first 24 hours after we returned than I had the first 12 years we had him. Who would have thought it would just take a week of trauma for him to appreciate us? We've been doing this anniversary tour for a couple of decades now. We also incorporate a late spring or early summer trip as well. This trip, for our silver anniversary, definitely ranks pretty damn low on our list, due to the weather and lackluster time we had at the ports. I really wish we had made it to Aruba. But no matter the location, the weather, or the events going on around us, the most important thing is I got to be far away from the worries and stress and spent a week celebrating with the most beautiful woman in the world and the great love of my life. Happy anniversary, Gina. This is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again.